Thank you, choir, for that beautiful time of worship. I really wish that majority of our people would take these teachings very seriously, because it has the tendency to change our lives forever. Forever. It is God's word, and it is forever settled. And whatever God does is forever. Whatever God does is forever. I want to take a scripture from the song, the last song that was rendered. Remember how our God has never failed, and He will never fail us. You see, many people, many born-again people fail. They fail in their lives, they fail in their businesses, fail in their academics, fail in relationships, fail in marriage, fail in their health, fail in their finances, even though they are born again, they're full of the Holy Ghost. And you wonder why. Why do they fail? And that's why the gospel that they preach does not appeal to the people they are preaching it to, because they can't see the results in their lives. Look, go ahead and have results. People will follow you to your church. They will follow you to your Jesus. When they see you succeed where they have failed, they are failing currently, and they see you making progress in the very same areas, they will come to you and ask you, how are you doing it? Some of them will assume that you belong to some cult or you have a prophet somewhere. And, you know, these are the days they say, cut me some soap. You know, cut some soap for me, because they believe it's some magical soap given you by some occultic prophet. And you are using it, and that's why you're having results. And, you know, yeah, people do that. They go into the occult to have results. But I tell you that those results are not enduring, and they are not forever, and they are not permanent. And the downside of those things are very devastating. Because by the time it expires and turns around, and then they're asking you for a fresh sacrifice to renew your powers, it can be something much more than you can handle. It's only the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and does not add sorrow. The blessing of the devil also makes rich, but he adds plenty of sorrows to it. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? So, but we can have results without going that route. And I want everybody to be seated and to hear me. Very important, because this can change your life. You need to pay attention. Those of you that are here, please pay attention. And those who are online, I hope you're not distracted wherever you are. The song says, remember how our God never fails. And a scripture came to my heart as that song was going on. And that's in Isaiah chapter 40. And I want you to turn there quickly before I go into what I want to teach tonight, which is still in line. Verse 26, Isaiah 40 and verse 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. Behold means look and consider. Anywhere you see behold in your Bible, especially in the KJV, it's not a word you read in a hurry and walk away. Whatever is after that behold, it says look and consider. Look, pause. It's like Selah. When you see the word Selah, it means pause and think. Look and consider. Then he said, he asked the question, who has created these things? Who has created these things that bring out their host by number? It brings out their host by number. In the earlier verses, it was talking about the works of God in creation. So when it got to verse 26, it said, come down for a moment in your life. Pause and think. Who has created these things? Who brings out their host by number? He calleth them all by names. He knows the names of all the stars in the galaxy. He knows the names of every human being that he has created. There are about 8 billion of us on the planet Earth today. Now, that beats my imagination. You have a church of 200 people or 250 people, and you don't know everybody's names. No, you don't. about to have a church of 1,000 members. You don't know everybody's names. In fact, you don't know all their faces. People greet you in town and they say, oh, we're in the same church. Oh, really? I've never seen you before. I know you. Okay, so what's your name? And then you get to know them. 3 weeks later, if you don't see them, you see them another 3 months. Oh, I remember. Yeah, we met in UI, but I don't know your name. I'm sorry. Who will remind God anybody's name? There are 8 billion, and yet God treats each person like an only child. If he comes to your room tonight and sits by your bedside, he says, Femi, how are you doing? And he will never make a mistake. Glory be to God. He never makes mistakes. Can I have an amen to that? The Bible says he called them all by names. Now, he does this by the greatness of his might. So his might is great. That's why it's called the Almighty. Nobody is the Almighty except the Almighty himself. And because you don't have that might, you can't do this. Do you know the names of all the stars in the galaxy? Do you know the names of all the angels in heaven? And there are such a multitude. The Bible describes them as thousands of thousands, of ten thousands and thousands. They are innumerable in number. Yet, God knows each of them by name. God knows each address in this world. Such that when he sent Angel Gabriel to go to Mary, he specified, according to the scriptures, the address of Mary. A virgin espoused to one Joseph, and he gave the address. God cannot send you the way. No, it's impossible. Your blessing cannot miss road because God never makes mistakes. He does all this by the greatness of his might. How does God know each of our birthdays? There are parents who forget their children's birthday because too many wahala. I mean, you want to pay this bill, you have this commitment, that commitment. Your child has to come and tell you, Daddy, tomorrow is my birthday. In fact, I've met people who said they forgot their own birthday because of what is going on in their mind. But God never forgets. He knows the strands of hair, the number of the strands of hair on each of our heads. I mean, I don't know the number of strands of hair on my head. I don't know about you. I don't know if you know. You can tell us the number of hair on your head. I don't know how long it will take you to scrape everything, put it in a plate, and start separating it one after the other, and you count everything, and you're going to be accurate. And God knows. He knows the number of cells in your body. The cells that make up a tissue. He knows the number of the tissues. He knows the number of the tissues that make up an organ. He knows the number of the organs. He knows the organs that make up the system. He knows how the system functions. He knows the volume of blood in your body right now. How does he achieve this? The Bible says, by the greatness of his might. Can such a God have enough might to heal your body? When your body is sick, do you think God has enough might to heal your body? Yeah, talk to me, church. Is it that powerful? Can it take care of a headache? Does he have enough might to pay your bills? If he knows all the stars through the greatness of his might, he knows all the birds in the air, in all the world. He knows the number of the fishes in the sea, and he knows their names. And men, they are eating every day. They don't go on strike. They don't go on protest because they are supplied. Imagine if the lions go hungry and there's nothing to eat. They will get to town and eat anything they find. But that has never happened because God keeps supplying. The entire ecosystem is balanced through the greatness of his might. He ensures that the sun comes up at the time it's meant to come up. And the green plant is able to take advantage of the sun through the process called photosynthesis. And as it takes the sun and takes all the nutrients from the earth, it oozes out what is called oxygen. Man inhales oxygen and exhales carbon dioxide, and the plant takes it up. It's part of the feeding process for the plant. And everything is maintaining one another. And so we feed on the herbs, and then we also feed on the animals. So we eat flesh, we eat grass, okay, because we are herbivores. And then some of the animals say, look, we don't eat flesh, we eat grass. They feed on grass. And then there are other animals that feed on animals, like the lion and the carnivores. They feed on flesh, and then we feed on all of them. And everything is balanced. Nothing out of shape through the greatness of his might. Now, Isaiah said, why is he able to do that? Because he is strong in power. He spoke about the greatness of his might, and then he said, for that he is strong in power. And as a result of his power, not one faileth. So how do you think you're going to ever fail in the hands of God? If you are in the hands of God, if you remain in the grip of God, if you remain in Christ, how do you ever think that you can ever fail? That someday your life may wind up a failure. And this is why Christian people don't venture. We don't venture into much. We don't do much business. We don't venture into great things because we are bound by the fear of failure. What if I start and nobody patronizes me? What if I fail? What if you succeed? Have we ever thought like that? And that's why I'm bringing these thoughts to us about renewing your mind. Because God can't do much. Even though he wants to do a whole lot. In fact, he's done a whole lot. But we will not be able to take advantage of what God has done if we're still thinking small. We're like the grasshopper. When you take a grasshopper and put it in a jar and put a lid on that jar, you close it. The grasshopper will make several attempts to get out, several attempts to fly out. It will try. It will hop, hop, hop. But every time it's hopping, the grasshopper is hitting the lid. And so he discovers that, look, I can't get out of here. There's a lid. And so after some time, he just couches in the lid, in the jar, and stays at the bottom. If you leave it for a long time and then remove the lid and walk away, you'll come back and meet the grasshopper there. Because the grasshopper has assumed that the lid is forever there. And this is its own fate. And it has accepted fate, F-A-T-E, fate. This is my own destiny. This is my own kadara, or what they call anyomo. Let me stay right here. And they stay small. Christian people stay small because maybe you've made several attempts and then you didn't have a breakthrough. Did you listen to the instructions of God? If you did listen and you followed his instruction, you would never fail. The Bible says not one fail, not one faileth. So how come we fail? Go to Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Just backpedal a few pages. I'm helping you tonight to renew your mind, because that's what we're talking about. Renew your mind. If God has put anything in your heart to do, go ahead and do it. Trust that you have the backing of God and you are going to succeed. Isaiah 34:16, it says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Now, there's a problem if you're not reading your Bible. A major problem. And many Christians don't read, even pastors. No one of these shall fail. This is Isaiah. No one of these shall fail. You remember in Isaiah 40 and verse 26, we read, it said, not one fails. God cares about each one. So he doesn't want one to fail. Jesus gave a parable about a shepherd who has 100 sheep and one goes astray. He says he's going to leave the 99 and go after that one. God cares about one, and you are that one, and God cares about you. No one of these shall fail. None means no one. No one shall want her mate. There is no child of God. In the original context here, he was talking about birds. But you can apply this to yourself. It says, none shall want her mate. Not one child of God, not one daughter of God should lack a husband. There is not one daughter of God, born again child of God, that should lack a husband. Oh, and she's growing and she without a husband. And oh, she didn't marry. Oh, no children. No, no. If he says, if he cares so much about birds and says not one shall want a mate, then not one daughter of God should lack a mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. Whatever the mouth of God commands, the Holy Spirit gathers. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, and there was darkness all over the place, and God said, the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness, but nothing happened until God spoke. But the moment the mouth of God said, light be, the Holy Ghost went into action, and light was. Anything God declares with his mouth, his spirit gathers. By my stripes you are healed. It is the Holy Ghost that quickens that word in you and brings healing. Can I have an amen to that? Romans 8:11 makes it very clear. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. How? Come on, talk to me, church. By the spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Holy Ghost. So whatever the mouth of God declares, the spirit of God gathers. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is the chief executor of the plans of the Godhead on earth. Anything God plans to do on earth, the Holy Ghost is the one that goes out to carry it out. That goes ahead to carry it out. He's the chief executive officer of the Trinity. Anything the Father wants done, he says through the Son, the Holy Spirit goes ahead, carries it out. John 11, Jesus stood by the 40, 41, 42, 43, 44. He stood by the tomb of Lazarus and he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. Because that was what the Father said. Jesus only echoed what the Father said. And the Holy Ghost went into that tomb and brought back Lazarus to life. Jesus made this very clear. Very, very clear. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. John 14, verse 10. He said, but the Father that dwells in me. How did the Father dwell in him? The Father dwelt in him in the form of the Holy Spirit. You would remember that when John baptized him, the Holy Ghost descended on him and his ministry began. So the Holy Ghost never departed. The same Holy Ghost that made Jesus, Jesus, is the same Holy Ghost in you tonight. But you need to sit down and think. You need to meditate and you need to internalize these things. You need to renew your mind so that you can begin to think like God wants you to think, and then you can say things and see them come to pass. There are certain things that are wrong. Sickness in your body is wrong. But you will never know it's wrong until you begin to renew your mind to the Word of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'll come to that tonight. So let me begin. Hallelujah. I have started already, but again, I want to begin. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. And I hope this microphone you gave me is well. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Somebody say, I have the mind of Christ. Say it like you mean it. Okay. The reason we emphasize singing is we want these things to sink. I want you to walk in the reality of who you are in Christ and what you already have. It will change the way you pray. It will change my prayer. It will change your prayer. It will change the prayer topic. There are certain things that we are asking God for that is already done. And so it's a sheer waste of time when you are saying that kind of prayer. 1 hour, 2 hours, 10 years. You're wasting time. He's done it already. So One of the ways to renew our mind, I think a very powerful way to renew our mind, which I don't want you to forget, is to acknowledge what God has done already in you, what he has done in Christ in you, what he has already accomplished, who you already are in Christ. Think about it every day. Talk about it every day. Reflect on it every day. I've just given you one scripture now, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Tell yourself, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Say it about 5 times. You can increase to 10 times. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I really have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I don't have the mind of a failure. So I am not supposed to wind up a failure in life because I have the mind of Christ. Unbelievers should never do better than me in my field because I have an advantage they don't have. They may have money, connection, education, whatever they have. I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ can never fail, can never conceive failure, and cannot concede defeat. I have the mind of Christ. I should be the best in my business, the best in my profession, the best in my class, because I have the mind of Christ. I have. Come on now. I don't need a pastor to lay hands on me and pray for me to have the mind of Christ. Receive the mind of Christ. That's wrong. I already have the mind of Christ. You can't give me the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. The day I gave my life to Christ, Christ came into me. I have the mind of Christ. One, let that settle. Two, begin to ask questions. How do I draw out this mind of Christ to apply to practical situations in my life? For example, if you're one of the creatives, you're in the film industry or music industry, you need to be coming up with concepts. One of the things that will make your work outstanding is to have concepts. Concepts that people haven't seen before. It might be what they have seen, but you do it in another way. Like someone said, if you can't do big things, learn to do small things in big ways. All right? So, Lord, I need concepts here. I need insights. I need ideas. Ideas rule the world. All of the movies you see, all of the films you see, they started as a thought in somebody's mind. Somebody just said, okay, can we have a scenario where a man is faithful in his marriage and is hardworking, but he has a very terrible wife at home? And then, of course, all the temptations in the place of work. He has a very beautiful secretary who is a single lady. No, let's not say she's a single lady. Let's also say she's a married woman. But then she's also having problems in her marriage. Both of them are Christians, so they know that adultery is not God's plan and it's not God's will. So she's a very good woman in her own case. The husband is just a crazy guy. Okay. Then you put down the thoughts. What's going to be my sin one? What's going to be sin two, sin three? Sometimes you might think, oh, it's going to be a short play, which is called the playlet. But as you sit down to start writing your scripts, ideas start flowing. It starts having flesh, concepts, and then it ends up being a full-length movie. And then God begins to now raise people who are interested in the movie, and then things are beginning to happen, things are beginning to fall in place, and then you already have the favor of God. Let me show you, you already have the favor of God. Because somebody's going to be praying for favor now. Lord, give me favor. So let's go to John 1:16. Don't forget we are still in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Which says you have the mind of Christ. But let's go to John 1:16. I want you to see what you already have and take advantage of who you are. In John 1:16, it says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And of his fullness, he was talking about Jesus Christ in that chapter. It says, of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is so full of grace. Is dripping with grace.
So out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we are about to receive. Is that what you have in your Bible? What do you have in your Bible? Does it say that you have already received or you are about to receive? You need to fast and pray to receive. Okay, so what have you received? Grace for grace, which is unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor. So have you received unmerited favor? Now give it to me in the Amplified Classic. It will help you understand it better. All right. For out of his fullness, what is fullness? Abundance. We are about to receive. How many of us have received? In fact, it says all of us. So there is not one single member of this church who is without the grace of God, who is without the favor of God. But you know, some people think that others have favor and they don't have favor. They have luck. Or they even see people that enjoy favor as people that are lucky. It's because you're lucky. You're lucky to have a good husband. Well, you better pray. This life is not easy. It's by luck. No! How are you sure you're going to have a good spouse? You have the favor of God already. You don't need any luck. I am not lucky. I have never been lucky. I will never be lucky in my life. I will never curse myself with the word luck. The word luck and the word Lucifer are from the same root. Both of them operate on the principle of gambling. It may work, it may not work. That's why there is good luck or bad luck. And as a Christian, you don't wish your church members or your family members best of luck, best of gambling, best of maybe, just in case. No, we're not saved by luck, we're saved by grace. Can I have an amen to that? Come on, can I have an amen to that? We are certainly saved, and so we are certainly favored. We are not probably favored. So go back to this. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all of us received. We are not about to. We have already received. Can I ask you tonight, are you already favored? So when they say some people are favored of God, are you one of them? We have all received, all had a share. So I have my own share. And we were all supplied. If I say, may you be supplied now, you say amen. But you're already supplied. Demand and supply. The day you gave your life to Christ, that day you were supplied with all that you will ever need. Is all locked up in your spirit. How do you get it out is the issue. All supplied with one grace after another. And then he broke it down. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, meaning you won't finish one before another manifests. It's inexhaustible. And even favor upon favor. So, I'm not just going to live on the favor of yesterday. Thank God for the favor of yesterday. There's a new favor for today. Can I have an amen? And there's a new favor for tomorrow. Can I have an amen? Inexhaustible. Favor upon favor upon favor upon favor upon favor and gifts heaped upon gifts. You know the meaning of the word heaped? Assembled on one another. Gift heaped, heaped upon gift, heaped upon gift. You imagine somebody gives you a gift now, it's your birthday, and another person in the church gets provoked righteously and feels, no, you're not the only person that will give that person a gift. And then they come up and give you a gift. So you have two gifts. And that person, no, I'm also going to give a gift. I brought it to church. And then they put it. At some point, you know, you won't be able to hold the gift anymore. You will have to carry the gift. And then imagine, as you are holding the gift on your chest like this, people are coming and they are putting gifts upon the gift until we can't see your face anymore. That's what the Bible is talking about. God doesn't give you trickles. He gives you in abundance. I told you on Sunday, it is abundance is God's signature. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you may have life and have just a little life. Come on, talk to me, church. Have life how? In abundance. The oxygen you breathe, is it just God supplies you just a little for every day? This room is filled with more than enough oxygen. How many of us are here? And every space, oxygen. Everywhere. Oh, glory to God. And then morning by morning, his mercies are new. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The loving kindness of the Lord, his loving kindnesses and tender mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's the signature of God. Abundance. Abundance. So you already have favor. So when you're going for your job interview, remind yourself, or visa interview, whatever interview, or you want to go and do business with someone, you want to go and sell your product, remind yourself you already have favor. You are a teacher, you want to step into the classroom or the lecture theater, remind yourself, tell yourself, I have favor. So you get in there, the students just like you. You teach, they just understand what you're saying. And they say, that's our preferred teacher. When I was teaching, I was the preferred teacher of my students. Everywhere I taught, everywhere. The owners of the institutions where I taught used to wait for my class to get money from the defaulters. Because they knew that the defaulters would, they would escape every class. They would escape math, escape physics, chemistry. I was, well, at some point I was teaching chemistry, biology, English. At some point I narrowed everything down to English, use of English. My class would be so filled, packed. Students would sit on the windowsill. And the owners of those places would wait for me to come and teach so that they would say, no, you can't enter this class. No, you can't enter. You have to pay. And the students were forced to pay because they wanted to be in my class. Just about 3 weeks ago, we had a delivery in UCH, my brother-in-law's wife. And so I took my children from school and they wanted to see the baby. I said, well, so let's go. Normally, I wouldn't allow them to go to the hospital environment. But they wanted to see baby. They wanted to see mother. So as we went up, we just ran into this bunch of doctors and students and all of them. And then I saw this big boy. It's one of the doctors, I don't know his field. I think maybe family medicine or so. He just walked up to me. Uncle, good afternoon, sir. Oh, Muiwa, how are you? Oh, I mean, it's changed now. Big, everything is big now. And then he was telling my children, your dad taught me the English I speak now. I speak better because your dad, and he was just talking and talking. My children said, all right, we've heard that before. Glory to God. Because from time to time, we've run into my students. I mean, I wasn't the best teacher of use of English. But I was favored. And I still am favored. So if you're a teacher and you're born again, you already have the favor of God. Whatever you do, you're a caterer. You have the favor of God. People are going to come to your canteen to eat. You don't need to go to some alpha somewhere and get the beggarly elements. Which is what is common. For people to come and eat in your place. Or you go to some herbalist and bury something so that people can come and eat. If you're a child of God and you do that, it simply means that you are ignorant of who you are in Christ. You don't know yourself. You have an identity crisis. Because if you know who you are, you will never have to go and bow before any altar to get customers to patronize your business. He says you already have favor. He says you already have the mind of Christ. So how do I get things done in my business? I want to do things differently this year. I want to be more creative. Sit down. Draw it out by faith. But first of all, it starts from knowing and telling yourself, knowing and reminding yourself that you have the mind of Christ. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Don't ever live your life depending on other people. The economy is very tough right now, I know. And there is the tendency to want to look somewhere for help. Look, there's no help anywhere. Everybody, every human being you know now, especially in this country, has bills. But I'm a student, and so what? You have the mind of Christ. As a student, in fact, you have a huge market. The population of students in UI would not be less than 1,000. That's toning it down. I don't know how many they admit every year. If you're in DLC, it's a mammoth crowd. Can you imagine having an idea of a business that fetches you 10 naira profit per product? Whether it's some snacks or some crafts, something you weave, you put together, and by the time you pay for materials and all of that and all the logistics, you still have a profit margin of 10 naira. It is not a problem. So, what you need now is population. Like politics is a game of numbers, business too is a game of numbers. So if I make 10 naira per product, how many am I able to sell per day? And then you push it out, and 500 people, let's even start with 200. 200 people patronize you. Can somebody give me what that means? 10 naira in 200 places, how much is that? Someone that is very good at math. Don't guess. I don't want any guesswork. Be accurate. 10 naira per product, 200 people. That's 2,000 naira. So 2,000 naira a day. Only you. You are the only one marketing it. 2,000 a day. And then some of your classmates and some of your bunk mates and some of the people in your hostel feel, look, this thing is really nice. I'm interested. I also want to buy and then resell. Or I want to be an agent for you. And then we can take it outside the school because there's Agbowo where you have a whole lot of people. And there's Mokola, densely populated. And then your products are now going out at the same 10 naira profit. You don't care how much they put on top of it. But instead of 200 units being sold, you are now selling 2,000 units every day. Now, 2,000 units, 10 naira per unit profit, how much does that give you? 20,000 naira per day. Now, 20,000 Monday to Saturday, you don't work Sundays because you want to be in church and rest. 20,000 in 6 days will fetch you 120,000, something like that. Multiply that by four in a month. 120 multiplied by four would give us how much? 480,000. That's 20,000 less half a million in a month for a student. Are you saying these things are not doable? Are you saying they are not possible? But you know why we don't venture? Because at the thought of venturing, what dominates your mind is failure. You're going to fail. Nobody's going to patronize you. Nobody's going to buy what you sell. And there are thousands of them out there who need what you sell. Imagine if you're making a profit of 100 naira on a product. That's 10 naira we have said. 100 naira. 100 naira on a product, and you have 2,000 going out every day. Because this agent is coming, you have like 10 agents, each of them is taking 200 units. So now you don't even have to sell yourself. You sell to them, they go and resell. So 200 units is going to one agent, and you have 10 agents. That's 2,000 units going out, and you are making 100 naira. 100 naira times 2,000, how much is that? 200,000 naira in a day. In a day. So in a week, remove Saturday and Sunday. 5 days, Monday to Friday, that's 1 million. 1 million. In a month, that's 4 million a student. You don't have the mind of Christ for the mind of Christ to be dormant in you. Think of what you can do. Think about what you can do. 20,000 naira can start a business. Don't tell me you need 2 million to start. Grow it. Because you have. The mind of Christ is not just for speaking in tongues. Some of you, your strength lies in maybe making skits and things like that and doing adverts for people, doing adverts for businesses, and you help them grow their customer base. You charge well. And because you have the favor of God, people will look at your channel. And it will give you ideas to generate traffic to your channel. And that's all you do. Well, how do bloggers make money? They publish nonsense and that's it. How much more you, having the Holy Ghost, you can publish wholesome content for families to consume. People are tired of nonsense. That's why when they don't have anything to show again, women are showing their breasts and all their body parts, walking naked, just for good to look, because they don't have anything upstairs to offer. But you have something to offer. Something an entire family can sit down to enjoy, to consume, and they want more. And you're coming out fresh every time because you have the mind of Christ. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? So how do I draw? Now I know I have the mind of Christ. I'm not praying for the mind of Christ. Each person listening to me tonight, online or on site, has the mind of Christ if you're born again. But then how do I maximize it? Don't tell me I have 7 more minutes. Oh, no. Okay, so that will take us to before 7. I'm finishing at 7. So adjust your time. I still have about 15 minutes. How do I draw out the mind of Christ so that I can benefit from what I already have? The link is the Holy Spirit. A Christian can have the mind of Christ and fall sick and die of their sickness and die in their sickness and sell everything they have until they have nothing more to pay their hospital bills and die broke and leave the family in debt. And they die in spite of the mind of Christ they have. But should it be like that? Why should I have the mind of Christ and die in sickness? And leave the family poor and blasted and broke and indebted? You remember the prophet that died in the old covenant? He died and left a debt for his family, and the creditors came and took 2 of his children. That's not a good way to die. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Same Bible. So you could be a prophet and not be a good man. The link is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is a person. This Holy Spirit wants to relate to you, wants to give you insight, concepts, and ideas from the mind of Christ that you have on the inside of you. But you must be willing to cooperate with him so that it can be a blessing to you maximally. Maximally. Because the Holy Spirit brings understanding to us. Let's put it this way. Let's start from John 14 and verse 26. John 14, 26. Jesus spoke a whole lot. The whole of John 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. In 17, he prayed for us. The longest prayer. He prayed for the church. In fact, I'm tempted to read a verse now, but I'll come back there. Let's go to 14, 26 first. Let me stay on track. 14, 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Notice the word teach. So part of his ministry will be to teach. You have the mind of Christ, but you need to understand. If you don't have understanding, you may have knowledge, but you won't know how to apply the knowledge. And so people have knowledge, they have head knowledge, their head is full of knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it. They lack understanding. Do people know that they should pray? Talk to me, church. How many people pray? How many Christians have a prayer life? The reason they don't have a prayer life is because they lack understanding. If they do have understanding of what prayer can do in their lives, they will not wait for anybody to tell them to pray. Do they know? Yes, they have knowledge. But do they understand? No. Do people evangelize? Do people tell other people about Christ? They know, yes, they should do that. But how many people tell someone else about Jesus Christ? Because they don't understand the mystery of the gospel. They don't know that the gospel is actually the power of God. God, empower me. Give me power. Give me power. I want to do miracles. It's in you stepping out. As you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and they open up and they receive him, that's the greatest miracle. Then other signs can now follow and will now follow. You pray for them, they get healed. Before you came to my shop, I was feeling one pain in my heart here. The moment I said that prayer with you and you prayed for me, where's your church? I witnessed to a woman on the plane. Immediately we were done praying, she said, you know what, white woman, I felt like a burden was lifted off my shoulders. I said, yeah. I know that. I'm used to that. I'm used to hearing that. I know that Christ has come in and he has taken away your burden. He's the burden bearer. Every unbeliever is bent spiritually. They are bent carrying a heavy load. It's when Jesus comes, he takes away the load. Then they can stand upright. Like that woman that was bent over for 14 years. The day Jesus entered the temple, he said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Are you with me, church? But why don't we evangelize? Because we are waiting for a pastor to come and force us. And then some will come, some will not come. The day we want to do two-on-one, or want to go out and distribute flyers and tell somebody about Jesus. If you understand that as you go, Jesus goes with you, then you will go. But a lack of understanding is the problem. Do people know that they should tithe? They know. But do they tithe? No, they don't. I'm not talking about those who even antagonize tithing. I'm talking about those who even believe in tithing, that you should tithe. They know. But do they tithe? They would have spent the money before them. Ah! Man, I didn't pay that tithe to God. Have mercy. God, I know you understand. You know, you understand. You understand. And so they remain on the same spot financially. God! Breakthrough! God of the breakthrough! The one, the little I gave you. Understanding comes in the place of doing. That's the mystery of the gospel. As you do, understanding comes by the help of the Holy Spirit. As you do what he says, you'll begin to understand them all. Put a finger here. Go to Ephesians 5:17. We're coming back to John. Ephesians 5:17. If you don't do, you will not understand. It's as you do, you will understand. It's not as you read, it's as you do. As you do. As you pray for your neighbor and you see them healed, you will understand. As you tell somebody about Jesus and you see them change, just like that, you will understand. I walked into an office years ago. A lady was talking, a prophetess from the White Garment Church. Talking, give me everybody prophecy. I said, give me prophecy. She said, no, I don't have any prophecy for you. I said, why? Just don't have any prophecy for you. I said to her, do you want to give your life to Christ? She said, yes. In the presence of everybody, she had given prophecies. I led her to Christ, drove the demon out of her, prayed for her for the Holy Ghost to fill her up. The Holy Ghost filled her up. She followed me to church. She came to this church. Then it was adult church. We didn't have youth church. Adult church was here till she graduated from UI and traveled back to Lagos. Prophetess, not born again. I didn't preach. I just said, do you want to give your life to Christ? It was dramatic. Very dramatic. She said, yes. The faces of the people she had given prophecy dropped. Well, and when she gave them the prophecy, whew. It's as you do. Understanding comes. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. How can you understand the will of the Lord? You understand the will of the Lord by doing what the Bible says to do. Do what it says to do. Then understanding will come. No, I want understanding to come, then I will do. No, you are placing the cart before the horse. Step out and do. Understanding comes. And when you have understanding, you don't need any more reminders in your life. When you pray so much that your prayer is beginning to have results, bearing fruit, what they call prayer fruit. Like Anna said in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, for this child, I prayed. When you begin to have prayer fruit, nobody will remind you to pray again. You'll keep praying. Because as you are praying, you are advancing. You are building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost 1 hour every day, something happens to your spirit man, such that when you get on the street, you feel you can take the whole world. That boldness comes. Nobody will encourage you to jack it up to 2 hours. Go back to John 14:26. So Jesus said, showing you the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm tying up you having the mind of Christ, and now you can draw out that mind. Because what is the point having the mind and you are in lack, you are in sickness, you are in disease? The devil is messing up your life, messing up your business, messing up your home, messing up your health, messing up your mind. Children of God having depression, it's a mess of our mind. You're having terrible dreams, you can't sleep. That's a mess. And you must declare war. John 14:26. While I want to keep to time, I want to finish what I have to say tonight. So, he said, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you how many things? Can he teach you about your business? Can he teach you that very tough course in school? Can he teach you how to write your project? All things. And bring all things to your remembrance. All things. All things. He's the one that brings scriptures to our remembrance when we need them. Scriptures you have meditated on, not the ones you haven't read. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Go to John 15:26. But the Comforter. You remember, he's the Comforter also in 14:26. He's also the Comforter in 15:26. The Paraclete or Parakletos. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. He now calls him the Spirit of truth. Which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. He will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He will testify of me. Go to John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You don't have the capacity to bear them now. Howbeit, next verse. When he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you. Daughter, don't go that way. That's not a good relationship for you. Go this way. Oh, but doesn't seem to have money. Is your life about money? This is the way. Oh, but that place is not bubbling with business. I need a place like Lagos, like Port Harcourt, like Abuja. And he's saying Oshogbo. Of all places in the world. Oh, no! He will guide you into all truth. Can I ask you tonight, does the Holy Ghost know more than you? Does he know Ibadan more than you? So if he tells you to move from one part of Ibadan to another part, does he know what he's saying? This is for your safety. This is for your provision. This is for your protection. This is for your favor. Never walk by sight. Walk by faith. We are Christians. We are not led by our brain. We are led by the Spirit. We have a good brain, our hardware. Inside the hardware is the software called the mind, which we are now learning to renew. Because inside that one is our spiritual mind, called the mind of Christ. If you are led by the outer one, which is the brain, you are going to be in trouble. Tall, dark, and handsome. That's the brain. But is that the mind of Christ? You heard the pastor of our church in Germany, Berlin, when she came for the International Youth Convention. The wife of the pastor, she's also a pastor. She spoke about short men a little bit. She's taller than the husband. And she's not a very tall woman. Now she's even now taller than the husband. That man is a dynamite. And God has a way of packaging big things in small bodies. What that man has achieved in life, in his own work, plus what God has used him to do in the kingdom. Many tall people, maybe 1,000 years, they will still be chasing after. It's not a crime to be tall. Don't get me wrong. It's not a crime to be tall. There are tall people who are achievers. Can I have an amen to that? Because most of you guys are tall tonight. Glory to God. But I'm saying that it is not by the physical. Imagine if the lady, because I'm sure, somebody told her in UI. She was in UI. She read pharmacy in UI. The man also went to UI, read mechanical engineering. Somebody told her, you're not too tall. We want to marry a short man. All your children will just be Orebe. All your children. Their first child, Annie, is in medical school now. He's taller than both parents. Their second child, the only daughter, is in law school now in Germany. And they have a little baby that is coming up. Blessed! They live in one of the finest places in Berlin, Germany. And the man went from there. He had a contract in Kuwait for only 2 years. He started a church. You saw Pastor Jacob who came, Sharan, from Bahrain. I mean, from Kuwait, rather. God works in people. Imagine if the lady had despised him. This boy that has only one trouser. He's even short. I don't like short things, though. Big things, Nemo, like. I don't know who sang that song. I don't know the name. I don't know the song. But on radio, I've heard that repeatedly. And immediately after, yeah, I don't hear anything again. It's just big things. You are walking by sight. God packages big things in small containers many times. When he sent them Moses came as a baby. When he sent Jesus came as a child. That's why till tomorrow, some Jews have a problem believing that Jesus is Christ. How can the Messiah be born in a manger? The Messiah, they're expecting the Messiah, HaMashiach, to ride on a white horse and all the angelic hosts will be riding from him and they want to see him descend. Kutuba. Oh, that's our Messiah. Behold, here comes the Messiah. But for you to tell us that the Messiah was born in a manger to a carpenter father. Haram. So they are still waiting till tomorrow for the Messiah to come when he has already come. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. You may want to get a shop and they show you some shops. This one doesn't look nice. And the Holy Ghost said, this is the place. Oh, it doesn't look nice. Touch it up when you get in there. You bring heaven there. Bring the kingdom there. You are the one to bring the kingdom there. And where everybody has despised becomes a place everybody now wants to go. The Stone Church shouldn't have come to Mokola. The Stone Church started in Bodija. How can you start a church in New Bodija and think of bringing your headquarters to Mokola? No! You are condescending. In Ibadan topography, when we were growing up, a Mokola boy was different from a Bodija boy. Me, I'm a Mokola boy. I grew up in Mokola. We used to envy the Bodija boys. How much Botini? You go to Bodija Christmas Day like this. Ah, oh boy. Nice aroma from all the kitchens. You don't need to go Christmas Day. Go on a regular day. The enormous stew is our Christmas stew. Chicken cake. You want to eat chicken when it's not Christmas? Waiting to do you. Christmas, I never see chicken chop. So it was abnormal for me to hear that people were eating chicken every day. I'm telling you about myself. But my cousins were eating chicken every day. You go to their house on a Wednesday, you eat chicken. Chicken cake, is it Christmas? But the church came here. Some of us joined. Some of our mates were laughing at us. Hey, you are going to the church where they wear their Italiakoti. Their best clothes is what they wear. How many clothes do you have? I remember vividly a friend of mine that said that to me. How many clothes do you have? You are going to that Stone Church. You better look for one. I said, no. I didn't come here to impress anybody with what I had. What did I have? One Lacoste shirt, white. Wash and wear. Wash in the night, in the morning. Lacoste, it has normal, natural starch. You iron it. I didn't come for anybody to see me. To the glory of God today, they are asking us, oh boy, how are you doing it? Never walk by sight. If the church didn't come here, I probably wouldn't be a part of the church. I didn't know the church in Bodija. And I would never leave Mokola to go to Bodija. Because even to come to Bible study every Wednesday was a sacrifice. For me, 20 naira bike from Asunle bus stop here. Until I said, no, I'm not taking bike again. Because it was 30 naira. It was affecting my offering. Every Wednesday, I had 50 naira saved 50 naira. 30 naira will take me by bike. Then the remaining 20 naira will go into the offering. Then I will trek home. I said, no, I can't be giving God 20 naira. Pay bike man 30 naira. Give God less. No! So I leave home early, trek to church, give my 50 naira gladly. I don't know the hand I will use again in this my life to give 50 naira to God as an offering. My time is up. Verse 13. How be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Can I have an amen to that? I want to give you a parting thought as we depart tonight. Ephesians 5:17 that we read earlier. It said, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I know the American embassy in Lagos. And I know that if you are going to go there to access the embassy, you must have an interview, an appointment. And I know what Nigerians have to go through to schedule an appointment. Imagine somebody does not have an appointment and goes to the embassy and says, I want to enter the American embassy. The American embassy in Nigeria is America. It's not Nigeria. Nigeria gave them that parcel of land where they built the embassy. But the moment you enter the embassy, the U.S. embassy, you are in the U.S. You are on U.S. soil. That's the way it is everywhere. If you go to the Nigerian house in New York, you are in Nigeria. The one in London, you are in Nigeria. You can eat a bar there. You can find semo there. You find Nigerian food, everything Nigerian, there. But if you don't have an appointment, and because you can fight, you beat the security, you fight Kung Fu and Judo, and you find your way into the embassy and say, give me visa. Give me visa.
Okay. You have injured our security men. They are bleeding. It is called an act of war. They will declare war on you because you have broken into their territory. The truth is, you can't break. Let's not go far. You can't break into the embassy. The security there. If they advise you move, you don't move. You'll be well advised. Thank you. The way they will move you, because they see you as a potential terrorist. But let's even assume that by some martial art, by some act of whatever that you have, you broke protocol, you broke security, you injured everybody you got in. They will declare war on you. You are unwanted. War for breaking into our territory. Do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6. We'll take it from there the next time. Because next Thursday is an outreach. Encounter night, the outreach version. So we'll resume upper Thursday. This is where I'm going to take it from. I want you to see every harassment of Satan on your life as an act of war. Any sickness that enters your body, you should declare war on it. Because your body is not designed for sickness. Are you with me, church? Oh, because you are now 40. That's why you... No, sir. The saints of old grew old and did not have old people's sickness. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses is my example. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim. So I'm believing God for that. My eyes are good. Amen. Praise God. This helps for clarity. They say as we age. But I'm saying I'm putting the aging process on hold because Moses didn't need glasses. But Moses didn't expose himself to laptops and iPads. I agree. And phones. I agree. We do a lot of that here. But we still can believe God because his word never changes. His eyes were not dim. Neither was his natural force abated. Moses didn't bend like this because he was 120. He was as strong as he was at 120 when he was 40.
natural force. If he grabbed you, he grabbed you. You'll be grabbed at 120. And he went home like that. Till today, the Jewish people, when they greet, Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. That's how they bless one another. Shalom. May you live up to 120 like Moses. Like Moses. Not the remaining 30 of the 120 on the hospital bed or in a vegetative state that they will even be praying, God, take him home. Strong. Strong. Eyes sharp. Imagine at 100, you know your children, you know your grandchildren, you know your great-grandchildren, you call them by name, you play with them, you tell them about the word of God, they will listen. This man is 100 and he's still telling us about Jesus. We must believe it's Jesus. Because they see some 65-year-old that have almost expired. Hey, is there anything going on in your life, in your body right now that is not of God? You should declare war on it. Are you with me? You're eating in the dream. You're getting married in the dream. You're flying in the dream. I believe I can fly. Crazy, crazy dreams. You see a cockroach as huge as an elephant. A cockroach pursuing you in the dream. Pursues you to real life. You open your eyes, you are sweating inside an AC room. Nonsense. You see some cats come near. Some people say, cats, they come near my window. They be doing meow, meow, and I can't sleep. Rebuke them. Anything in your body, anything in your life that is strange, declare war on it. It has broken its territory. You are an ambassador of Christ. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? This is how to renew your mind. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Is it the will of the Lord for me to be having sex in the dream? Is it the will of God? You don't know how many people's lives are messed up with all these things. I shared this some time ago. A young man is in America now. He came to me and said, Pastor Fred, you know, I was dealing with that. I said, I didn't know. He said, the day you mentioned it, you gave an altar call, I gave my life to Christ. That's when he stopped. He said, but he came again one time. I said, that's how the devil behaves. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said it in verse 43. When you cast out an unclean devil from a place, he will go out of that person. He will go through dry places, and he will come back again, seeking rest if he finds none. And then he comes back and then says, oh, the house is empty and garnished and well furnished. And then he will go out and get seven others, more wicked spirit than himself. And they will come back, and the end of that man will be worse than the beginning. I said, that's the way it works. But the fact that you had that dream again, you had sex in the dream again, does not mean that that demon has entered you. But that demon has come to check whether you are empty. So I tell people, deliverance is not the ultimate. Staying delivered is the cocoa. It's not getting delivered. Staying delivered. You have been delivered from this. Then fill up your life with the word of God. Fill up your life with your prayer fire. Pray like no man's business. Pray like no man's business. So when they come back, they say, ah, this one is crazy. Let them call you crazy and walk away. Are you with me, church? Said they will have sex in the dream, and of course, he will wake up and see his bed is messed up. His body messed up. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Is that the will of God? Talk to me, church. Is that the will of God? So the Bible says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it's in my place. It's in your place as a child of God to enforce the will of God in your life. Satan, you didn't give this body to me. You can't control what happens in this body. It's my body. So you stop that nonsense in the name of Jesus. Get out of here. And I'm going to go to bed and have a smooth sleep, and I'm going to wake up like a giant in the morning, and I'm all right. Can I have an amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. You need to renew your mind. Father, we honor you for your word. Thank you. Thank you. We are grateful. We are grateful. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, precious Father. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the precious Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. I pray for everyone going through a financial hardship.
And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you, receive grace. You have grace already, but you need to receive it and walk in the consciousness of it. Doors will open for you in the name of Jesus. Some people have been forgotten. Some people have forgotten you. And precious Holy Spirit, we lean on you tonight to touch the hearts of such people, to be a blessing to your people, so that there will be no lack in this house, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we promise that as you open these financial doors and other doors to your children, we will remember to return all the glory and all the praise to you in the name of Jesus. Let every hardship disappear, dematerialize and dissipate. Let there be abundance of your grace in this house, abundance of your favor in this house, the anointing of ease that does things easily, gets things that others are chasing after easily. Rest upon this church. Rest upon the works of our hands. Rest upon us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.